You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Please pass the salt. We hear that less and less these days because some people at least are being told that salt is not as good for them as it once seemed to be. Perhaps the real problem is that many of us have always used too much salt. A pinch of salt goes a long way. The idea of salt is to enhance taste rather than to overwhelm it. In ancient times, salt was very scarce. Indeed, the English word salary comes from the small quantity of salt given to a Roman soldier as his regular ration, to be used sparingly for food, which he probably cooked for himself when he was out in the field. Salt gives spice to food, as other spices do. At the time of Christ, a bag of salt was as valuable to many people as life itself. In places where it was scarce, salt was traded ounce for gold. Christ was talking about the spice of life when he said to people in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. When the salt has lost its taste, in what way will it be salted? From then on, it's good for nothing except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by people." Salt is a combination of sodium and chlorine. Sodium is a metal so unstable that it bursts into flame when exposed to water. Chlorine is a poisonous gas. Put together, they form salt, used by people all over the world for beneficial purposes. As we found out, the beneficial stops when too much salt gets into the diet, causing high blood pressure, for example. High blood pressure increases the risk of stroke, heart attack, and kidney failure. The average human body contains 8 ounces of salt. If you lost all the salt in your body, the result would probably be convulsions, paralysis, and death. They tell me that if you put blood cells in a salt-free fluid, they burst. Sodium is involved in muscle contraction, in nerve impulses, and in the digestion of bodybuilding protein. Salt is an absolute necessity for life. It literally keeps us alive. In other words, the words of Jesus are loaded with life. You are the salt of the earth, absolutely necessary. And a little goes a long way. At the time when Jesus was speaking, people had no refrigerators. Salt was widely used to preserve fish and other food. Today we pickle cucumbers in it. If you examine the contents of a package of food, you generally find sodium in small letters somewhere down the line because salt keeps food from spoiling and rotting. To people, Jesus was saying, "You're important in the world to prevent further decay of what can rapidly become a foul-smelling mess." The world is no less decadent today than it was in the days of Jesus. People then were selfish, greedy, lustful, and wasteful. People are selfish, greedy, lustful, and wasteful today. They pollute water, soil, and air. They pollute even their own bodies and minds. They rob, lie, and cheat. They steal money. They steal spouses, and they even steal children. They kill with guns, knives, and tongues. They despise what is pure, moral, and honest. Should we be surprised? Is the picture overdrawn? Taking his cue from the Psalms and from Ecclesiastes, in the 3rd chapter of his letter to the Romans, Paul described the world of his time. He said, "There's not one who is righteous, none who understands, no one who seeks after God. They all have fallen away, and altogether they have lost their bearings. There's not one who does good, not even one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, their tongues they use for deceit, and the venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There is no rhyme or reason in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Could you find a better description in our time of moral conditions in almost every country of the world? We cannot point our finger at people of the past. They had their own problems, and we have ours. Still, the problem of the world comes down finally to this. It needs something, not only to produce taste, but also to provide a cleansing power which will lift people out of the muck and place their feet on solid ground. The world needs something, a new spice of life, to give a new taste for living, a new way of looking at things and a new way of doing things, a new outlook that dispels the rotten smell and makes things look new and clean and good again. When Jesus said on the mountain, "You are the salt of the earth," he was talking not just to a small group of disciples, those specially chosen and endowed lay people whose blood became the seed of the church. He was talking to a great group of people, old and young, well-to-do and pathetically poor. They were committed and they were contending. Some were inquirers and others were skeptics, a whole catalog of personalities and potentialities. And to these people, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." It's as if his mind's eye poked far beyond those gentle hills surrounding that now sacred place to search the corridors of subsequent history and to identify and call by name the countless men and women and children who have ever since heard themselves referred to as the salt of the earth. They were people like us. This incredible cross-section of humanity in what might be called St. Matthew's world, called by Christ to look beyond the ordinary, the dull, the sodden, the despicable, and the degraded, commissioned with a new and amazing grace to emerge as people who are the spice of life. The corrupt world that murdered the Holy One of God and would probably murder him today if he were to appear in person as he did, needs to see beyond itself to that real world with the salt of grace, the grace of God that serves life while it is giving tangy taste to that life. The death of Christ in a world very much like ours today has become the turning point in all of human history. He died at the hands of people moved by human hatred, human resentment, human hostility toward God, all the while professing all kinds of secular and religious pieties. We could concentrate on everything that was wrong with that world or with ours, resulting in the death of the Son of God. Instead, Jesus wants us to focus on the tremendous results of an event that took place in that land far away, obviously unnoticed by the world at that time, bringing to all of humanity the touch of God, a package of salt, which makes all of life different, new, clean and good again. When he died, Jesus made good the sins of a corrupt world that had lost its way. He made good for your sins, such as they are. He died for you as he died for me. He commands your trust as he's commanded the trust of ages gone before and will command the trust of ages yet to come. Jesus died for you. And God forgives you. He accepts you as you are, not as you would like to be known just in those moments when you put your best foot forward. Jesus honored you by dying for you as you are. And God honors you by offering you his forgiveness just as you are. It's Jesus now talking to you. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost all its taste, what good is it at all except to be walked underfoot by people? "Don't tread on me" was the ensign of the flagship of Stephen Decatur in one of those naval engagements at the beginning of the 19th century. It's not the way a lot of people live these days. They fly an ensign that says, "Do tread on me." They have lost all savor, all taste, all tang in their lives, and they've given themselves over to all manner of destructive forces that affect not only them, but also the people around them. to all of us, whoever we may be, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. It's about time you listened and live up to the calling to which God calls you this and every day. God calls you with his gracious offer of forgiveness of your sins. He calls people to repent of their sins and to receive forgiveness, which he gives out of the goodness of his heart for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died for a world that's openly hostile or stubbornly indifferent to God. The very survival of society depends upon people who listen to that call, answer it in repentance toward God and in faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and then going the way of Christ with a newly seasoned life where it becomes clear that Christ was right. You are the salt of the earth. Salt gives zest to life. It's meant to do that, and that's what it does. Often without knowing it, people who've come to know Jesus Christ, sometimes after a period of aimless wandering on their own, give real zest to life and to the community around them. Salt is inconspicuous, ordinary, mixed with common things. Salt works quietly, preserving, healing, working as an antiseptic. Jesus calls his people to a day-to-day witness of their faith and love toward him. Forgiving people do not go around looking for ways to get even. They forgive while others try to take revenge. They forgive, though they would not be a forgiving people if it were not for Jesus Christ. They are giving and peacemaking people who quietly heal, touching the lives of others, often only with a pinch of the love of God that's enough to introduce a new element into life. Salt in a wound sometimes stings. It calls attention to a wound that otherwise might have remained unnoticed. The grace of God can sting sinners, turning off as many as it turns on. People may laugh at you. They may call you a killjoy or holier than thou. Never mind, you don't need to be ashamed. Salt doesn't have to be ashamed of being salt. It does what it's supposed to do. It gives taste to life. It also helps to preserve good, cleansed, and productive life. St. Paul once told Christians in Colossae that their speech should always have grace in it, seasoned with salt. In that way, he said, they would come to know how to give an answer to each and every one. Sugar may serve to soothe people, but salt wakes them up. Let your salt have taste. By the grace of God, have complete recognition of your own humanity and also complete confidence that God means it when he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, cleanses you from all sin. Your influence can go a long way, far out of proportion to what you thought you could do. Don't be discouraged because evil is so powerful and the numbers of God's people appear to be so few. A few can save the many. In fact, one man died for the sins of the world so that many might be saved. Christ's people may be a minority in the world, but they're a saving minority. Christ's people are meant to flavor society with honesty, justice, trustworthiness, and congeniality of character that makes its own mark on the world in the name of Christ. That kind of stuff is the spice of life. It's not good for nothing, not to be trodden underfoot of people. It has savor, it has taste, it has tang, and it helps to keep the whole community alive. Christ says to you, you are the salt shaker for the salt of the earth. If the salt shaker is never used or the holes in the top are plugged up, what good is the salt? The salt has savor, but it never gets out. Shake that container of yours so that people know what it is that makes you tick. Even the grace of God that you've come to know in Jesus Christ. Let the people see it in how you think, how you talk, and how you act. You don't have to be a fanatic to do this. A pinch of salt goes a long way. You do have to shake out that salt, and then the salt does its own work. Christ did not say, be the salt of the earth. That would have been just another one of those admonitions that so often fall on deaf ears. He said, you are the salt of the earth. By his grace, God makes you salt. By his forgiveness, he gives you a new mind and new heart. In his glory, he calls you to be a shaker of salt, of good news that saves. It's his forgiveness that transforms. His grace that gives life, for which he himself provides the spice, which is faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, and that will always be the spice of life. Amen.